Nationally for Peace and Freedom, or the WILPF show, and I'm Lucy Lewis. This morning, our guest is Miriam Thompson. Miriam is a longtime activist in the labor and social justice communities. She moved to North Carolina from New York a little more than a year ago and has already become a leader in the local progressive community. She is secretary for the Chapel Hill Carborough NAACP, and we are proud to have her as a member of WILPF. Welcome, Miriam.
Welcome. Thank you.
We know that in the short session of the North Carolina legislature that a priority of the NAACP and its allies, including WILPF, is House Bill 1538, which would repeal North Carolina General Statute 9598, which prohibits collective bargaining of public employees. Can you tell us a little bit about the history of this law and how it came into being?
Actually, it came in 1959, but let me go a little bit back. First of all, Okay. Everyone knows that we live in a right-to-work state, which discourages workers from joining unions, tolerates wide abuse of worker rights, and race-based discriminatory employment practices, and is only one of two states that prohibits by law, passed in 1959, by the way, but a long history in Jim Crow, that deny public workers the right to collectively bargain with their employers for better working conditions and sitting down together to resolve problems that improve governance and the delivery of services by our local and state bodies. Historically, the law in 1959 was passed because a group of Teamsters was trying to organize in Charlotte police officers. And it caused such a stir among the leaders that we might have a union and workers having some role in the workplace and changing power relations that they pushed through a law passed by both houses, General Statute 9598, only one of two, the other one is Virginia, in the country that prohibits collective bargaining by public employees. So this bill that we're now fighting for, together with the NAACP-led Historic Thousands on Jones Street, the HK on J Labor and Civil Rights Movement, the Help Our Employees Coalition, HOPE, and many others, the AFL-CIO, to pass this new House Bill 1583, which would repeal the general statute and give public workers the right, by the way, an international human right in the International Labor Organization that permits workers everywhere to collectively bargain.
Well, that's a real important history. So clearly that this prohibition against collective bargaining has been around for a long time. But why here in 2008 are this becoming such a priority? And why are folks working so hard to push for the repeal of that statute?
I think because of the movement building around it, this struggle to repeal 9598 has been going on for a long time. But I think recently, and this struggle is in the last few years, but I think recently it has taken on even greater proportion in the community. I think the other labor struggles that WILPF has been involved with have also lent public attention to the right of workers, both in private and public industry, the Smithfield workers, the challenge to the farm workers who are trying to organize. So all of this, I think, is creating a much a more amplified conversation around workers' rights. I also think that a stronger AFL is putting its efforts behind this. It has, but now it's being joined by the NAACP and the HK on J movement, including WILPF as one of its most important allies. Of course, all the NAACP chapters and faith-based communities all around the state that are seeing this as a major effort to bring long-denied justice in North Carolina. And another nail in the coffin, frankly, to still existing statutes that go back to Jim Crow.
Well, we all know that UNC is Chapel Hill's biggest employer. If this piece of legislation was passed, what would be the impact on public workers if they had the right to negotiate contracts on issues like working conditions and benefits and layoff policies and so forth?
That's a good question. We are we're working with many of the public employees on the UNC campus, but people have to know, I think we have in Carborough Chapel Hill a particular voice in this debate because of the long Jim Crow history at UNC, which continues to this day in their discriminatory hiring and firing practices. I had a conversation yesterday with one of our great civil rights attorneys, Al McShirley, who mentioned to me the history, or really educated me as to the history of at UNC, and in particular, they got an exemption, a very modest law, personnel law in North Carolina, does not allow public workers to be fired without just cause, and they can grieve. Of course, to grieve, you have to hire a lawyer and spend how many thousands of dollars, but UNC got an exemption from that law for its hospital. So 5,000 to 6,000 workers, and this was stated by the chair of the Department of Personnel when he was overruled in his opposition to UNC's application for exemption. He opposed it, and he told Al McSherley that this was probably one of the worst events in the history all over the nation of denying workers even modest rights. Collective bargaining, of course, would give them much greater power, and it would be a contractual right as opposed to a statute, which, as we see, they could seek exemption. So thousands of workers were denied any redress at all. He also told me about a famous case exemplifying this injustice. Keith Edwards, a well-known figure in our community, represented by our own Al McSherley, an African-American police officer seeking promotion, denied, job given to a less qualified white officer, sued, took 7 years before the university capitulated and settled the lawsuit. It cost the taxpayers $1 million, $500,000 going to Keith Edwards in back pay and damages. So this new law would both make governance more more appropriate and reasonable, allow workers justice, and make service delivery and worker morale much much higher. And there are many more cases at UNC. We know of 17 dental technicians who were fired without just cause. We know recently Al is representing nurses and secretaries who've been fired again without just cause. So there's an entire history in UNC, going back to, by the way, ignoring and aborting federal law going back to World War II against discrimination in employment and admissions application. Its whole discriminatory admissions application for African American students is now under clear examination. So we in the community have a special role because of this giant, this 900-pound gorilla, UNC, and its operations. And I think this law would begin to move our university, our community, and our state.
Well, you've clearly made a case for why this would make such a difference to public workers here in Chapel Hill and across the state. Why do you think there's such opposition to giving workers this fundamental right?
The same reason we're a right-to-work state. I think it's all about power sharing. The whole history of the union movement is to give equity, justice, and power sharing to workers. This state has steadily ignored that, both or tried to abort it in its private and public sector. Look at Smithfield, the struggle in the private sector to deny the hog workers in our community the right to organize and have a union to represent their grievances, and similarly for the public workers. It is just about, to me, it is about power. It is about equity and justice and democracy, because a union is a democratically elected body and it gives workers the a right to speak. I should add that Chapel Hill, I want to give credit and not forget, that Chapel Hill, Carrboro, and other communities, town councils around the state have endorsed this new law because they think it makes for better governance. Worker turnover, worker morale, worker productivity, worker voice in the workplace is what they consider important for governance and the public good and good well-delivered services.
Well, you've certainly made a case for why this would be a positive thing for public employees who currently don't have any voice or opportunity to collectively address their working conditions and benefits and those kinds of things. But we know that some critics of this legislation contend that it would lead to strikes by police officers or firefighters and jeopardize the public safety. Can you speak to those concerns?
Sure. We were recently in Raleigh last Wednesday, a whole coalition of folks under the HOPE Coalition, Help Our Public Employees. And I should say, by the way, that this is a modest beginning to really change the just plight of workers in this state, a modest beginning. It doesn't immediately dictate that workers are going to join unions. It just is a first step in really creating a more just workplace and the right to organize unions. And by the way, we have unions. We have the State Employees Association. We have UE 150. We have the police and fire, but they can't collectively bargain. So in effect, the unions really have very little strength in a major power relation with management. So let's go over some of the myths about the law which are being perpetrated by its opponents. We know that its historic roots in 1959. We know its historic roots in Jim Crow before 1959. We know that public employees should have the same right that the majority of workers in the U.S. have. Contracts between government entities and their employees benefit the government, employees, and citizens, as I indicated before. Increasing numbers of town councils, including our own, have endorsed it. Workers have the right to join unions and employee associations, but the 97 prohibiting employees from joining a union, by the way, was declared unconstitutional. So they can join unions, they just can't collectively bargain. It does not allow strikes. This law would not allow strikes, which is a familiar myth that opponents try to give us. It would lead to higher taxes. In fact, we are paying higher taxes because...
I mean, it's a myth.
It's a myth that we would have higher taxes under this law. Thank you. Because, in fact, the cost of worker turnover as a result of grievances and working conditions not being resolved is costing the taxpayers much higher taxes. And I gave you an example of the back wages and damages that had to be paid to a public employee right at the university who was challenged her discriminatory denial of her promotion request. So I think on the side that we're pressing, and by the way, some of the opponents, conservative opponents, are coming on board, which is, I think there is, as I said, a larger voice, really an amplification of the movement. So when we were at our lobbying and press conference last week, one of the most conservative Democrats joined us at the press conference to indicate his support because he thought it was a fair and just law and should be gotten to the floor as quickly as possible. And I want to talk about how we get it to the floor, but to the House floor and Joe Hackney's role, which we'll talk about.
Great. Well, we're going to take a break for just a minute, and you are listening to WCOM, Carrboro's all-volunteer radio station, and this is the Women's International League for Peace and Freedom. Our guest today is Miriam Thompson, a longtime labor and social justice activist, and she is one of many people in our state who is working for passage of House Bill 1538, which would give public employees the right to enter into contracts about their working conditions and benefits. And also, we want to let our listeners know about an important community event this evening. Dr. Robert Bowman, who's Lieutenant Colonel in the U.S. Air Force retired, is bringing the Patriots Tour to Chapel Hill this evening, Friday, June 20th, at 7 p.m. at the Church of Reconciliation at 110 North Elliott Road. Dr. Bowman, who is the first director of the Strategic Defense Initiative under Presidents Ford and Carter, will speak on ending the war on Iraq and preventing war on Iran. And the themes of his nationwide speaking tour are to follow the Constitution, honor the truth, and serve the people. This public lecture is free, and again, we encourage our listeners to come out this evening, 7 o'clock this evening, Friday, June 20th, at the Church of Reconciliation, to hear Dr. Bowman speak about this critical issue of ending the war on Iraq and preventing broader conflict in the Middle East. So we hope that you can be there this evening. Now we're back talking with Miriam Thompson about the issue of collective bargaining and the struggle of North Carolina workers to have the right that workers in 48 other states have, which is to be able to enter into a contract for their wages, benefits, and working conditions. You mentioned the fact that you had been in Raleigh last week with a number of allies. Can you say a little bit about the HOPE Coalition, the Honor Our Public Employee Coalition, that's been working on repeal of 95-98?
First, I want to give people the HOPE, Help Our Public Employees, website where they can get a lot of information. And I have, unfortunately, where it's not visual, but you need to see the thousands and thousands of signatures of organizations, both faith-based, labor, and community, that have signed the HOPE petition on behalf of this law. Their website is nchope.org. Their email address is info@nchope.org. And as I said, they are this this incredible coalition, including many of the all of the HKNJ allies, the AFL-CIO, the various employee associations and unions, but individuals and organizations, particularly from the faith-based community. So it's remarkable. But that's their website. So last Wednesday, we all came together to fight for this bill. As I said, we had some surprising legislators that joined our ranks, but not enough. We need more. And so as we move along, we'll get to how people can join the coalition, but more important, make those calls to make sure this bill gets to the floor and is passed.
And then you've mentioned another movement building organization that's doing a lot of work around this issue, the HKNJ. Maybe you could say a little bit about their role. I know that we've had some guests on our show before talking about the 14-point People's Agenda,
right,
and where this fits into that.
This is one of the top points in the People's Agenda. Reverend William Barber, who I'll talk about later because there's a document that I think all of our listeners should get. But he has put, and the HKNJ Coalition has put, workers' rights as central to the 14-point labor and civil rights agenda. And he speaks, and as does the coalition, eloquently about joining forces of labor and civil rights. One cannot exist without the other. And so the workers' rights agenda has made the House Bill 1583 prominent in its efforts in the short session, which is now, ends in the middle of July, so we have our work cut out for us. But they are putting a lot of pressure on the legislators to pass this piece of legislation. As I say, the workers' rights to collectively bargain, to form unions, to be treated with respect and dignity in the workplace is one of the major items and the top items in the 14-point agenda, obviously in addition to their other civil rights issues of health care and education and the right to work and the end to the death penalty and the end to war. So I want to give a plug for the other wonderful 14 points, but workers' rights, of course, is a major initiative of theirs.
Well, you've done a great job of dispelling some of myths around this piece of legislation, but before we get into what people in the community can actually do to support it, I'd like to just to hear a little bit about more from your perspective as a longtime labor activist about why it's just so important for workers to have this kind of legislation. We here in North Carolina, as you've mentioned, are a right to work law. We're one of the least unionized states in the country, and a lot of times that's used as a carrot for business to come into the state, that we've got low wages, we've got a hardworking workforce, and we're not unionized. Why is it in the public interest, not just public employees, to support this piece of legislation?
I'm going to start with three perspectives. One, it is an international human right. And if we are going to live in a civil society and we can see what the past 8 years has done to the whole respect for law, civil rights, human rights in this country. So I think this is part of the general struggle to restore democracy and human rights to our own country and certainly our workplaces. So that's under the whole international human rights. I think there is a general change in North Carolina and a much greater voice for a more progressive policy as affect our state and our state governance. And third, I'm listening to Mark Chilton, who is the mayor of Carrboro, and he got up at the press conference and said, this would just make governing better. We would be able to sit down with our workforce, and workers, by the way, have the most insightful understanding of what's going on in the workplace. They know how to run the city departments better. They know how to deliver services better. They're committed to their neighbors in delivering public service. Why can't we give them the respect they deserve for the services that they provide to make our lives better? And last, I think, as I mentioned earlier, it changes power relations in a democratic society. You cannot have a democracy in a workplace with all power residing in management at will, without just cause, firing and hiring without just cause, and then leaving the worst workplace and the workers demoralized, disenfranchised, discriminated against. And I do want to emphasize that there is a major civil rights pattern here. I mean, the discrimination has fallen most heavily on our African American and people of color workers.
So clearly this is an issue that really should concern everybody who wants to see justice in our community, not just the public workers at UNC and around the state, but it's really in all of our interest to work for this. So if people are concerned about what's happening, you've mentioned a document you'd like to see them read and steps they can take. Can you tell us a little bit about what we here in the community can do to work for this piece of legislation?
Yeah, let's talk about education. First of all, they can get on the NAACP.org website, and people should read the 14 points because this is really part of a historic struggle and movement. I'm going to say they should join WILF in the NAACP Chapel Hill Carrboro branch, where they can really get active in this movement and participate. I've given the HOPE website. Let me do that again, nchope.org, where they can get more information, among them the talking points that I've raised. And finally, for historic context and really important information, they should get something called, it's put out by our local branch of the NAACP, called Jim Crow 9598. Mm. It has an extraordinary introduction by Reverend Barber, an eloquent, extraordinary introduction, and it's based on the research for his dissertation by Dr. John Yanni Chapman called Blacks and Freedom at the University of North Carolina. It's a wonderful text, and here's a way both to get involved in WILF and NAA and also get a copy. Just go on the WILF website, trianglewilf.org, and for small contribution for postage, we can send you a copy of this document. Again, it's called Jim Crow 9598, published by our local branch of the NAACP. And you can also call our wonderful WILF leader, Lori Hoyt, at 968-1888. That's 968-1888. And then we can get involved. The first, actively and immediately, on Monday, June 23rd at noon, we are joining our NAACP local chapter, we being WILF, elected representatives, our mayors will be represented, many faith-based and other community organizations. Central to this meeting with Speaker Joe Hackney, who, by the way, is one of our elected representatives, local elected representatives, will be the public workers, both the Black Public Workers Association in Chapel Hill and the public workers in representatives from UNC. And why are we meeting with Joe Hackney? Because he plays a central role in getting this bill to the floor finally for a vote. It is now in the Appropriations Committee. That's a step forward, by the way. But he is Speaker, and he has power, and he has influence, as do our local representatives, to talk to their colleagues and give them the same message that we're putting on the air. So I would urge people to call Joe Hackney's office. There is, by the way, a wonderful, if people don't have it, it's at the town halls, the League of Women Voters Citizen Guide, which gives you all their numbers, and I'm going to give them to you right now. We want you to join us at noon at Joe Hackney's law office in Chapel Hill, 410 Martin Luther King Boulevard. We will be meeting with him right in his local office, urging him to take the leadership. We should hold him accountable for delivering, but taking the leadership to bring this issue to the floor, to persuading his colleagues that this is a just bill, a really step forward for a more progressive North Carolina. And so we will be there at noon, but I want to give you some telephone numbers. Verla Insko, our local representative, is in strong support. So is Senator Ellie Kinnaird. Verla's number is 733-7208.
Can you do that again a little bit slower?
You bet. 919-733-7208. Joe Hackney is 967-3822. Ellie Kinnaird is, I will get you that, is 929-1607. So the message to Joe Hackney, which we'll deliver with your support and participation on Monday, is we want your leadership in passing House Bill 1583 to give collective bargaining rights to our public employees. And we want Ellie and Verla, our allies, to give Joe Hackney's support and spine by going out there and really lobbying their own legislators. And we're doing that with all our friendly legislators. They need to be more vocal, and their voices of support, not just at a press conference, need to be put in practice by going door to door to the legislators and with our calls and our presence.
So there are really a number of different things that you're encouraging people to do around this piece of legislation, it sounds like. That we've got folks who can come out on Monday to Joe Hackney's office, to Speaker of the House Joe Hackney's office. Phone calls can be made to his office. Certainly people can send emails or letters.
Oh, I can give those email addresses if we have time. Do you want those?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You can also call their offices if you don't get it on time. They're really easy emails. Senator Ellie Kinnaird is ELLIEK at ncledge.net. Verla is VERLAI at ncledge.net. And Joe Hackney is Joe H at ncledge.net. So it's easy to email, it's easy to call, and it's easy to come on Monday because it's right on Martin Luther King Boulevard in Chapel Hill.
Well, Miriam, you have covered so much of the history of this important piece of legislation, its roots in our own Jim Crow racist history in the state. This is such an important opportunity to redress some of that history and to give workers a voice, and there are so many ways people can get involved. And I think you've helped dispel some of the myths and why this is so important today. Is there anything else you'd like to share with our listeners before we wrap up?
Get a copy of the document. Get on the WILF website, trianglewilf.org. Call Lori for more information, Lori Hoyt, 919-968-1888. And come to our local NAACP meetings. There won't be a meeting in July, but there will be the first Saturday in August. They meet the first Saturday. It's going to be the second Saturday. Oh, just in August, the second, but it's always otherwise on the first. You can get more information from, why the first, second? It's usually the first. Okay, whatever. Anyway, but Lori can give you all the information both about WILF and NAACP. But we hope to see you on Monday.
Great. Well, there are lots of opportunities to get involved. And thank you so much, Miriam, for sharing all that information with us. And we really do hope that people will come out and support this piece of legislation and help us move forward. A quick announcement about WCOM, your listener-supported Carborough Radio. This radio station is made possible not only through volunteers who come here and work, but through your support in the community, through your time and your dollars. And provide an alternative to corporate media takes community support. So we encourage people to come out to the Carolina Brewery with WCOM on Sunday, June 22nd. WCOM and the brewery are hosting a DJ get-together and benefit. And this is your chance to get to know the WCOM DJs and talk show hosts off the air. And WCOM will be there on Sunday evening from 5 to 7 p.m. Carolina Brewery is going to generously donate a portion of every meal ticket when you tell them you're there for WCOM, so don't forget to let them know that. And you can join us at the brewery to help WCOM bring you the best in music, talk, news, and more. And we encourage you also to invite your friends and support your all-volunteer community radio station by enjoying great food and beverage at the brewery on June 22nd. We hope to see you there, and thank you for your support. This is WCOM LP, Chapel Hill and Carborough, your community radio station. And thank you for listening. We hope you'll join us next Friday at 7:30 for the WILF Radio Show. Thank you.